Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Jewel. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us what you've been up to, because you've been a guest from the show before.
Yeah, I have been a guest. What have I been up to? Writing. I feel like the past year, probably, I think it's been about a year or so since we last chatted. I have written way more than I thought I would. I've dug up some old manuscripts and dealt with those to put those out. But other than that, I'm a busy mom. I have three kids. Two of them are adults now, but I help my youngest, who is now 15. He does some online schooling for his dyslexia. So I am a teacher helper during the day. I say I'm a full-time writer. It is, quote, my full-time job, but it's very few hours a day that I get to devote to it. So I have been busy, but life has been good. Have you been well as well?
I've been well. Yeah, I've been like settling in. It's been an interesting time. We're just kind of like healing, like doing the inner work of healing internal stuff and just seeing how would the process flourish. So it's been like, I got to see my family and spend like 3 weeks with my family just last week. So I was actually in Puerto Rico, and allow me just to get out of, you know, and at the same time being productive and doing this like on a daily basis now. So, which is kind of like exciting.
That is exciting. It's interesting trying to get that perfect balance of like work life, but keep me emotionally, you know, balanced. So kudos to you for like finding that right now. That's awesome.
So tell me, how do you balance it all? Like you mentioned, you bust out some old manuscripts and like polish them out. So what was the process of like, you know, these books were written a couple years ago or a while ago, and I realized I'm like, oh, maybe this is, could be something, you know, there's a need to the story here.
Yeah. My release that I had here, my last release before Us, it was one that I wrote several years ago when I wrote for Lucy. I wrote both of them for potential books to submit to publishers, but it was a really weird time because of COVID and like, what is everyone's mental frame of mind? Do you put these more serious subject matter books out there? So I self-published for Lucy. I held back on Before Us, and it's one that I did put to quite a few publishers. I changed an agent in the process. A lot went on with the process. I had a couple that were very interested, but they kind of all fell through. So I self-published this book. So it was for me like recently putting that book out. Mm-hmm. It was weird because I was like going back and polishing it and like becoming reacquainted with it. I've been working on, I have written, so my new release, If This Is Love, it's something I've recently worked on. That's what I worked on the end of last year.
Yeah.
But like right now, of course, that one's done and out, but right now I'm working on some novellas actually that were published, like either anthologies or they were published for like newsletter builders. So these short stories that have to be kind of fast paced because they're a short story. I'm working on a couple of those to make them into full length novels because I had enough people that were like, we want more of this. And so it is really crazy going back and trying to stretch it into a full length novel. They won't be like 100,000 word full length novels, but we'll get them, you know, maybe 60,000 words. But it's weird because I'm having to like slow the pacing a little bit. I'm tweaking a few things with what I've already written, but not a lot. I would, you know, somebody, if they didn't like it, you know, no need to jump in and read it again. I'm not changing really the first part, but it's challenging for me, but I love a challenge. As a writer, if I'm not challenged, then I become very unsettled. I need to have a challenge. It's why I write all over the place. I write comedy and suspense. Even when I'm writing from point of view, sometimes it's first person, dual point of view, sometimes it's third person. So I need a challenge, and these novellas, turning them into a full length novel, a couple of them, They are really challenging, but in a really fun way, a good way. I need that mental challenge.
I think it's as exciting as someone who has a love-hate really for novellas. I love them because they're fast-paced. You can finish them like in a sitting and it's great. But at the same time, like I always sleep with like, I want more, you know?
Yeah.
And that's like the feeling and like, I want more. And so you're treating us to that. But then it's like, how do you make them to have more without... Yeah. Losing it.
I get it. And I don't like writing them. I do it when somebody asks me to be in an anthology that's usually going on, some charity thing. You're like, yep, I can do this for a good cause. Or I've done it for like some newsletter builder things with different authors. But I don't sit down on my own for no good reason and think I'm going to write this novella or short story. But I will say, and because I myself don't read a lot of novels or short stories either, and because I love the character development, I like pacing things. I like really, you know, fleshing out characters. So in a novella, that's clearly harder to do and you just feel a little bit cheated. But again, it's like that challenge, like somebody saying, give me a story in four sentences or something, you know, that challenge of the way, you know, like coming up with elevator pitches for something or just like this short blurb where you're like, okay, this is a challenge. I don't always love it, but it's good for me. So I do it.
Oh, I am excited for these projects for sure. And so how do you switch up? Because you write across genres. You're not like stuck into one genre, one formula and stuff like that. How do you switch over? Like, is it based on like you write an emotional book and then you take a break and maybe write something more lighter or like more darker, or like, how do you switch around?
Yeah, it's pretty easy for me. Like right now, because in the United States, I don't have anything traditionally published. So I'm not really at, you know, on a publisher's deadline or them telling me I want these books and so many of them in a certain amount of time. I do love the fact that I can write like I read. I'm a mood reader. So I don't have necessarily a favorite, you know, type of book or favorite trope. And I just binge those all the time. Sometimes I'm in the mood to laugh. Sometimes I'm like, I want something dark and gritty. And then other times I want like the mystery, or I want something that I know is going to make me cry. I'm an emotional person. So I'm a mood reader. So therefore when I sit down to write, it's just basically like, what do I want to write? And I can take one story idea that maybe I've had in my head, and I can decide whether that story idea is going to be a lighter story or if I'm going to make this more serious. Because it's funny how you can take one idea and it can go in a lot of different directions. It's not that, oh, I'm going to write a romance, or like I'm going to write an office romance, which I don't really write many of those. And therefore, it's going to be kind of more of a romantic comedy. I could write a pretty serious, you know, office romance if I wanted to. And it's what I'm in the mood for, which is nice. I think as much as you would love to have this gigantic success where publishers were offering you all kinds of money to write certain things, for me, I think because I'm my age and I write for a living, but I'm not caring if I'm, you know, this multi-million dollar making author. I want to always love what I do. And I love just being able to write what I'm in the mood for. I think the words become more authentic when it's not forced. I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah. And I think it just allows the reader to see a plethora of opportunities. You can find readers who might like the more lighter stuff. You can find readers who like the emotional, the angst, the push, you know, have a tearjerker, you know. Yeah. And I think in some ways, like finding, like you can find pockets of audiences, you know, for each of the book, and then be like, oh, like if you like this, and try all these other books. And I'll link to our previous episode because you did talk about if you like this mood, you can try these books for your backlist. But I think it's great. Like honestly, and it's authentic. Like just writing what you feel like you're called to write, as opposed to what you think you should be writing.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk about if this is love. So tell us the elevator pitch.
The elevator pitch for This Is Love. If the man that you love and that you've loved forever is forced to marry your enemy. That is the quickest one. It's a romance set in Texas on a ranch. It's the first time I've written, quote, a cowboy romance. It is an age gap. These are really awful people. Think of like, I don't know, for people who are Yellowstone fans, I think they will love the book. So this is, and I wrote the Naked Fisherman series a couple years ago, which is kind of a forbidden romance, age gap romance. So I call this book, If This Is Love, The Marriage of Yellowstone Meets the Naked Fisherman. And it was just a really fun book to write, but it's angsty. It has characters that you love to hate. There's characters in this that readers will be like, I hate them. You know, they will be so angry with these characters, but I built them for that purpose. It's very heartbreaking at times, but because of it being an age gap and where the two characters meet when they're young, even though there's an age gap, he's clearly a little bit older, but she's young, and the developing the relationship between them is just, to me, so magical, because they both come from very unconventional backgrounds. She has an awful family that she comes from. His family is gone. His brother's in prison. There's like all of these little intricate details that make this story, in my mind, writing it, it was very addictive to write it, because it felt like, what's going to happen next? Oh my gosh, is this going to happen? And there's the push and pull, and the forbidden element is really strong in it. So yeah, I hope readers like it. So far, minimal feedback that I've gotten has been really good. And so we'll see how the weeks progress here, but I'm excited.
Oh my gosh, I am so excited for this one. You had me at cowboy, your take on a cowboy, and your take on, like, this is Naked Fisherman, age gap forbidden, but same time, here's characters you're going to hate. Because sometimes you got to root for those characters you're going to hate. Like, yeah. It brings those emotions, and you're like, okay, yes.
Yeah. It's not like, and I don't have a problem with this. Some people are like, oh, I hate when romance novels are based on some type of misunderstanding, which I don't always hate that, because sometimes that's life. I write about a lot of life stuff. Like, this book isn't about misunderstanding. This is just about like hardcore life circumstances, things you're forced into, blackmailing people, like things like that, that have just, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed disliking a lot of these characters. And the ending is hard earned.
Oh, yes. Oh my gosh, I'm adding this to my queue for sure. So, all right. So, Joel, tell us, like, what kind of books would you recommend our listeners to pick up? What have you been reading lately?
Oh gosh. Sadly, I don't get to read near as much as I used to, because, yeah, I have 10 billion other things that I'm doing. So, reading has become such a luxury for me. It's funny, I think people are always surprised by this. I don't read a ton in the romance genre. I do read a handful of romance books every year. I have some of my favorites that I try to get their books read. But for me, as far as recommending things in the romance genre, I'm a huge Ali Martinez fan. I think that she does amazing. Like, I love her Regret duet that she has. Mm-hmm. She writes suspense so well, and I always think I'm going to figure it out, but I never do. And she has such great character development, and her plot twists are so good, and I love her style of writing. And they're always, yeah, they're these sexy romance at the same time. Recently I finished off Kate Stewart's Bittersweet Symphony series. Mm-hmm. How she expanded on that. Drive was my favorite book for like a very long time. Anytime you can incorporate music and a rock star and a really cool story and an ending you're not expecting. So that one is one that is a go-to for me. My most recent one I read was Jennifer Hartman's The Heart Song duet. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. Jennifer, I always say that, and I've read several books of hers, I feel like she writes to my soul sometimes. Like, I like these angsty, grip your heart, rip it out, put it back together books. And she does it so well. Her writing is just fantastic. She's so great at her craft. That's kind of like my romance recommendations. But for me, like, when I'm not reading romance, I'm a huge like Jodi Picoult fan. I love her book, House Rules. I love Jodi's writing because she always tackles the hardest subject matters. She doesn't hold back from anything. And I love, there's always suspense, there's, usually some court case, but the subject matter is usually really deeper and darker. And I say that at some point, if ever I continue to write more in the women's fiction area, I would love to write Jodi Picoult books, but I don't feel secure enough yet that I can tackle some of the subject matter without, I don't want to say offending people, but when it's a difficult subject matter, you usually have two very, you know, opinionated sides to it. And I think she does a great job of writing it where you don't actually probably know where she stands herself personally mm-hmm. on it. She's just like putting it out there for readers to, like, they're great book club books. And that's mm-hmm. what I love. I mean, I like writing books where Lucy, I felt, was that way. Before Us, I felt, was that way. Like, this book club book, like, let's talk about kind of some of these controversial topics and what would you do? But it's not like I'm putting out as an author what I think. It's just handing it to the audience. I love Lisa Jewell books. When I want my suspense fix, that's not necessarily romance, but the thrillers. What is it? Then She Was Gone is my favorite Lisa Jewell book so far. And eventually I'm going to jump into some more fantasy type stuff. I haven't jumped into the fantasy romance, but boy, everyone talks about it. And I keep saying I'm going to do it, but I haven't gotten there.
I have a recommendation for you for fantasy romance. I would say The Serpents and Wings of Night by Carissa Broadbent. It's a pretty fast paced, like, it's a tome, but it's fast paced. It's about vampires and a trial where they're actually competing, and their enemies to lovers. She's been trained to compete in this trial. She's a human, and her enemy becomes her partner and then love interest. And there's a lot of suspense. There's a lot of push and pull. And it's a really good one. It's part of a series. It's the first book in the series, but it ends at like it's a minor cliffhanger. So it's a pretty good, solid, you know, fantasy romance, similar to ACOTAR, but you don't have to slog through the first book because I hated the first book of ACOTAR. so this one is actually pretty good. So,
awesome. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like the talking about mood writing and mood reading. Like, sometimes you just, like, as much as I love the serious, like talking about Jodi Picoult books, the serious subject, other times, like, you just want to escape reality. Like, give me the vampires. I just need that reality escape. So,
vampires, aliens, or monsters. You know, men are the worst. We're going to, like, look for some other species, you know. So, Joel, tell us where you can find you online.
Oh, I am on probably Instagram the most. I have Jules Jonesy's is my Facebook group, and I'm pretty active in there. I am on TikTok. I'm not fantastic on TikTok, so Instagram's the best place. I do have a YouTube channel that I put vlogs up on, and I think it's Julianne Writes. And then, of course, I do have a website, julianne.com. You can email me. There's a contact there. So I'm kind of everywhere, but probably Instagram's where I'm most active.
Awesome. Thank you, Jewel, for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with the free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of one with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.